Okay, not gonna do it. Okay.
I'm sorry. Number one. Praise the Lord, saints. Glad to be in the house today. Praise the Lord for our Sunday school directors, our assistant pastor, Sonia Gross, for allowing me to stand here and teach God's word. Dear Lord, I just thank you for everything. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the strength to be able to stand before your people, Lord God. Nothing of me, Lord God, but let it be all of you, Lord God. Decrease everything of Miriam to where they don't see me, but they see you, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about my purpose. My purpose. I found two different definitions of purpose. The first one, the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. The next one was more so of a biblical definition of purpose. It refers to God's intended plan and the reason behind his actions as well as his individual callings and missions he gives to every believer. It is its divine framework within which God works, and it encompasses both the grand and narrative of his creation and his specific roles and paths that he has set for each person. So that goes to tell you that everybody has a purpose. No matter what you're going through, you have a purpose. You was not just created just to be here. You were created with a purpose. In Psalms 105:4, it says, "Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him." In Proverbs 3:5, it says, of course, very familiar scripture, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." It's so easy to want to take our own path. It's so easy to get caught up in our daily life. It's so easy to get caught up in everything that don't have nothing to do with God, because everything around us is more not God than is God. So that's why you got to make sure that you are acknowledging him, not in your own mind, but in his mind, but in his strength, and you're allowing him to direct your paths. It's so easy, again, to get caught up in the daily lives, going on about your day as usual. But if God has called you for something else, you know, sometimes, this is just me, sometimes I wonder if I'm doing it right. Or is there something else out there he wants me to do? Sometimes I question myself. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, God, is this what you want Miriam to do? Is this what I'm supposed to do for you? What am I supposed to do? God, show me, tell me. It's just like when I was, I had just graduated high school. Well, before then, I was in a terrible car accident. Didn't know if I was going to live, but senior year. But I was going after rehabilitation. I'll never forget, I came down the steps of my house, and my mama's house, and I was like, Lord, what do I do now? Because I had to learn how to walk again. What is my purpose? What am I going to do? Because back then, I was like, I'm going to college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The enemy stepped in, like, kind of put a monkey wrench in my plan, in my thought, and what I thought I wanted to do. I never forget, I came down the steps, and I was like, Lord, what am I going to do with my life? I'm messed up. I don't know what to do. He said one word to me, hair. I said, hair. I said, huh, I can do that. And with that simple word, I went to school on. I went to cosmetology college on. And for 25, 30 years, I did hair. Had my own shops, had a great business, enjoyed doing what I did. I would still be doing it if hadn't got sick or what have you. But I was in my purpose. I understood purpose and understood when you are in purpose, when you are purposely planted where he wants you to be, everything works out right. Everything just goes easy. Everything just is, I'm not going to say you're not going to have any stumbling blocks. I'm not going to say things ain't going to come up against you. But let me tell you, the road is a little bit more smoother when you're walking in the purpose that he has designed you to walk in. And I tell you what, I wouldn't trade over them 25, 30 years of doing hair again in my life, because I understood now that was my purpose. When he told me one word and I went with the one word he told me, then that was my purpose. That's what I was made on this earth to do, for a career, for my life. Purpose. Sometimes you need to understand and ask God, get real with him. When you're feeling like, oh, I can't stand this job. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? All these people getting on nerves. I can't stand this house. He will, if you ask him, Lord God, what is my purpose? Where, and he will even tell you where you are supposed to live. He will tell you what to put on. He will tell you how to navigate every part of your life. If you just ask him, Lord God, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? Where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to talk to? Who is supposed to be around me? Who is not supposed to be around me? Because he said, I will walk with you. I will talk with you. I will lead you and I will guide you into all, everything that you need to be brought into. What is your purpose? What is your purpose today? Was your purpose today just to come into the house of the Lord and sit down? Or was your purpose today to come in here and give God the praise and the honor and the glory which he deserves? Did you come in here? Did you come in here just to sit like a statue and never raise your hands and never say, Lord, I thank you for just allowing me to come into the door? What is your purpose today? Look inside yourself thinking, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? First of all, give thanks to him, because it's only through him that you're allowed to even be here. Your breath is not even promised to you, because he gave you the breath that you breathe right now. That's not your breath. That's his breath inhaling into your body. So, Lord, I thank you for that purpose breath in me, because you allowed me to have it. What is your purpose today? You know, I think about Joseph in the Bible. He had an awesome purpose. He had a lot of things that came up against him. He was treated so bad by his brothers. First, he was thrown into a pit. Then they told the father that he was killed by animal. They took the coat that they were jealous of and they put blood over it, took it to the father and be like, your son, the one you love, you know, you just honor, you know, they were so jealous of that poor boy. And they gave it to him. And, you know, his dad was a weak old man. He was frail. And so he just kind of lost his senses. You know, his son that he loved, his pride, he loved him. You know, and then poor Joseph got the brother sold him into slavery. They didn't understand just because your jealousy was promoting Joseph's purpose that God had designed him to do in life. You know, sometimes you have people in your life, you think that you call them haters. I've called them haters. You call them people who get on your nerves. You can't stand them. You don't understand. Sometimes those people are to motivate you into where God wants you to be and what he wants you to become, into your purpose, into your design fit for him. Sometimes don't always be like, No, take a little bit from that and grow and understand, okay, that was working out for my good. Even though the enemy meant it for my bad, God, I understand there was a nugget in there that was going to take me to the next place where you wanted me to be, my purpose. And that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph, you know, he went through so many different obstacles in Egypt when he was sold to the people. You know, said he did something to Potiphar's wife and he didn't, you know, thrown into prison for all them years. But yet and still, God gave him favor in the prison. God gave him insight. God was able to tell him, well, it was one particular person about the cupbearer and then the other guy. But anyway, one was going to die, and he didn't want to hear his prophecy. And the other one was saying, you're going to be restored back to the king. And the only thing that Joseph said, remember me, remember what I told you. Don't forget me. But Joseph didn't understand. It was always designed purpose for his life. It was always a purpose for his life. You know, the obstacles that he went through was so awesome, because it made him to be the second most powerful person in Egypt next to the king. You know, he was made governor. of everything. You know, he was right up underneath the king, but he arose to the purpose that God had intended him to be. So all those times that his brothers were being mean to him, all those times that they mocked him and they made him feel like he was whatever, nothing, and he was the dad's pet and all this stuff, and you're just spoiled, you're just this. No, okay, yeah, in some point, yeah, he was. And then sometimes Joseph overspoke when he probably shouldn't have said some of the things that he was saying, but he was just excited for the different things that God was showing him, to where he was like, oh, we're going to do this. I'm going to sit before my brothers, and they're going to all be sitting around me, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that. So therefore, the brothers got jealous. That's why so many people may be jealous of you. You got these kids going to school, back in school this week. There's going to be a lot of kids that's going to be jealous of you, because why? You may have something on that they couldn't afford, but yet and still, you hold your head up, and you walk in the purpose that God has allowed you to be able to have that stuff. You know, you don't just shrink down. You walk in your purpose, and you walk in your place, and you know who you are in God, and you know that he has a designed place for you. God is always intending it to be your good. He's always trying to make it work out for you. Want your mind, want you to think, want you to accept it's working out for your good. Even though it may not seem like it, many times I'm sure Joseph in the prison, he was thinking, I'm in this, I ain't done nothing wrong. I've kept all the commandments. I've done what I was supposed to do. But why am I still in this? But one thing he didn't do, he did not lose hope. He did not lose what God had showed him all those years back. Sometimes you got to go back and look back on your staff and look back, okay, God, I went through this and I went through, but you brought me through. You brought me through to where now I'm in right alignment of my purpose. I'm in right alignment of what I'm supposed to do. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, then, it's one of my favorite scriptures, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. You know, back when I first read this years ago, I was like, land, what is the land? And God was, and then he said, it's my land. It's who I am. He's going to restore me back to where I'm supposed to be in him. What we have to do, we have to humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from anything that's trying to keep you from his face. And then you'll be able to reap the benefits. You'll be able to walk in a divine purpose that he has for you. But you first got to seek him. You first got to humble yourself unto him. You first got to pray to him. You first got to seek him. You first got to acknowledge, hey, I need you, Lord God. I need you to direct my path. I need you to direct the purpose. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? I don't understand, Lord. I don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do and you don't understand what to do, that's when you go to God. That's when you get on your knees. That's when you come to him humble. That's when you ask him, what do I do? I'm here, God. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. But Lord God, I know you have a design and a purpose for my life. You've not left me out here to be destitute. You've not left me out here to be on my own, because you said, the word said, you never leave me nor forsake me. You said you always be with me. You said you walk with me, even with my mother, my father forsake me. You said you would take me up. You said you would be there for me. So therefore, I'm calling you out on your word. Sometimes, and that's what it is. You got, when you're praying, you're just praying God's word back to him. And you know what? He has to answer. He said, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what he sent forth it to do. Meaning when it comes back to him, what do you think the word of God is coming back to God with? It's coming back to him with glory. It's coming back with him with power. It's coming back with him with praise. It's coming back with him to know, okay, you understand what I put you there for. You understand your purpose. You understand that I have called you to this position. I have called you to be at this place. I have called you to be this parent. I have called you to be this worker. I have called you to be this servant. I have called you from the foundation of the earth before your mother and the father. In first in Jeremiah 1:5, it said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, he said, I set you apart, meaning I set you over here and I put in you where I wanted you to, everything that I wanted you to do in your life. I set you apart. Yeah, I understood. You was gonna mess up sometimes. There was things not gonna work out right because you stepped out of the wheel. But when you got back in the wheel, you was gonna learn that I had already aligned your steps. I had already purposed your life. I had already made your pathway straight. All you had to do is just walk in it. And that's what he's telling us today. Whatever your pathway is, whatever he has purposed for your life, walk in the purpose that he has established for your life. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the left or the right. Just look unto God. When he says, look unto the hills, look unto him, because he will show you, he will direct you, he will give you everything you need. In 2 Chronicles, I went into the Amplified version of this, and I really like what it said. It said, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek, crave, require as a necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. He said, crave me. You know, sometimes you get a hunger pain. That's what God wants us to get sometimes for him, a hunger and a thirst after him. The Bible talks about a thirst and a hunger after righteousness. Well, that's being after God, being after his own heart. He said, get a hunger for him and require him. It's a necessity. Just like if you go without water, without so many days and everything, you can die. Do you know that? Without so much, you can die if you don't have enough water in your body. So therefore, it's a necessity, right? So what you think God is, he's a necessity. When you open your eyes, he's a necessity. Before your feet hit the floor, he's a necessity. Lord God, I thank you. You kept me throughout the nighttime. You made sure nothing came to my household. You made sure that no burglar come. Didn't nobody come in and do anything to me. Lord God, but you said, seek me, crave me, require of me, pant after me. Kind of like, what is that one scripture, it talks about as a deer panteth after the water, so shall you need to panteth after me. You know how you have a dog? We have a dog. I can't stand a dog. We have a dog. And I can't stand a dog. That is my daughter's dog. And oh my God. This dog, it stands at the door, on our back door. And after it's done, it's like a human. Because when it's done, he knocks on the door. He takes his paw, like, open the door for me. I'm ready. I'm done doing whatever I was doing outside. But I just look at him like, she ain't getting in. I'm not opening the door. But what I'm trying to say is, but he pants. He's like, yeah. You know, and because he's thirsty, but he's wanting to get in. That's what God wants us to do. Pant after him, thirst after him, hunger after him, search after him, require him as a necessity. God is a necessity for our lives. We cannot make it without him. We cannot navigate our lives without him. We got to want him more than anything. We got to humble ourselves before him. That's why he says, seek me, crave me, require me as a necessity, that I need you more than anything. I cannot make it without you. And without God, your land, your sins will not be healed. You've got to be healed by God. You got to turn it over to him and let him do it and let him cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You know, I love it when God it calls us to his own. It's kind of like when mama or some older person would call you with some authority. You say, I'm trying to get your attention. That's kind of like God. He's and what he's doing. Sometimes the things that you go through, sometimes the things that come upon you, God's trying to get your attention. Like, hey, this ain't gonna work out right for you. Hey, do you see me knocking at you? Do you understand that's me? Do you understand that's not the way you need to go? Do you understand I've not ordained that walk for you? I've not purposed that life for you. Get out, danger, move, run. You know, sometimes as like a parent, he sees you running out in the street and sees the car. What's the parent going to scream and holler your name? Get out the way, there's danger. Sometimes God will do that to his people because he has called you to his own. You're his own. And when you listen with a clear ear, when you listen for his voice, you will hear his voice. The Bible talks about, he said, my sheep hear my voice and will not adhere to any other. So we are supposed to be the sheep of his pasture. So you know what a shepherd, he has this little staff. I'm a farm girl. They have this staff and it's like got a hook on it and they have to hook them and bring them in, kind of reel them in, trying to, come on this way, because this is the way you need to go. This is the way you need to walk. This is the way you need to talk. This is the way you need to act. No, don't say that. It's going to come back to hurt you. Don't wear that. It's going to come back and bite you. Don't do this. You know, and that's what God is trying to tell us. Walk in the steps that he has already purposed for you to walk in. Don't try to go outside of the steps, because let me tell you something. You're going to end up in a world of hurt. You're going to end up in a world of trouble. You're going to end up in a world of, oh, man, I messed up. I should have done that. Of a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas that I wish I did never did. I've been there, done that. I ain't saying nothing that I haven't done. There's a lot of things. I think, man, I should have seen that coming. Jesus, that just... Wrong. But I bless God, because he raises you up when you wake up in him. And there's another person I want to talk about in the Bible. Know that God will not fail you. Know that God will walk with you. Know that God will lead you and guide you. This makes me think of Esther, who was chosen to be queen. But she herself had some obstacles to go through, because she was a Jew. And in that time, Jews were, you know, one particular person named Haman, he hated Jews. He hated them, wanted to kill them all. You know, but this woman, Esther, she had to stand strong as a woman of God. And she had to know what her purpose was. You know, her cousin let her know, said, this is a time for you to rise up for your people and stand and tell the king, you know, plead for their lives, plead for their safety, plead for their lives again. And the thing about it is, at this particular time in those days, if you came before the king without being announced, you would get killed. But this woman, she knew who she was. She said, if I perish, let me perish, because she understood her purpose. She understood that this is why she was called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Sometimes you need to look at why you are where you are. Sometimes you are called for such a time as this. Everybody can't walk your walk. Everybody can't talk your talk. Everybody can't work in that position like you can. Everybody can't talk to that person like you can, because everything is designed for one particular person and for that. And if it's for you, something, and you know it's for you, then rise to the occasion. And when you rise to the occasion, know that God is with you, already going before you, removing all the obstacles about your way. He said, I will remove the stumbling blocks out your way, and I will make your pathway straight. And when he said, I'll make your pathway straight, then, you know, all you got to do is just walk line on top of line, precept on precept, knowing, God, you got me. God, you're taking me through. God, you're making a way out of no way. Lord God, and I trust you, and I believe you. And that's what Esther did. Esther said, you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to stand before the king. And if I perish, let me perish, because I know I was called for a certain time, for such a time as this. And that's what she did. It didn't matter whether the king was her husband. It didn't matter, because he had an authority to do. And if he did not hold out his scepter to her, she could have been killed. But praise the Lord. You know, of course, he held that scepter. You all need to read the book of Esther. It's really, really good. But she knew her purpose. That's what I'm coming to. She knew her purpose. I think a lot of times we don't know our purpose in God. We struggle with so many different things at home, whatever you do on your job, just in life. You know, three things I've always said, and I'll say it till he takes me home. It's not always God. It's not always the enemy. It's sometimes just you. And you got to understand, who is it? When you wake up in the morning, what hat are you going to put on? It's a choice. It's a choice what purpose you want to step into as soon as you wake up in the morning. You know, people say, oh, I hung my holiness up on the hanger before I got in the bed. You can't do that. You got to wear your holiness 24/7, because the enemy don't stop. We lay down and stop, but he don't stop, because he likes to come at us in any way he can. But yet and still, you got to know what your purpose is. What is your purpose going to be when you wake up in the morning? Are you going to put on righteousness? Are you going to put on self? Are you going to put on, I can't stand this job I got to go into. I got to be bothered with these people. Negativity, nasty. Well, you know what? That's what you're going to get when you walk in that door. Because why? You've already set the tone for your day before you even walk out that door. In Deuteronomy 31 and 6 and 8, it says, assures that God goes before you and will be with you, not failing or abandoning you. That right there, that's awesome. And Joshua 1 and 5 states that God will be with you and will not fail or abandon you, echoing the statement of never leaving you alone furthermore, meaning I will never leave you alone. I will always be with you, even until the end of time. He said, lo, this is what he was saying. When he was being ascended, our Savior was being ascended back up to heaven. He said, and lo, I will be always be with you. That is something that you can take out every day, no matter if you're feeling low. Because sometimes you just feel low. You just got to be real. Sometimes you feel low. Sometimes you just, it's just so much that wants to come upon you. But you got to go back into the Word and encourage yourself in the Lord. That is the only way you're going to make it through. That is the only way you're going to be able to get over that hump, is when you encourage yourself in the Word. Because the Word will encourage you, but then you got to take that encouragement and get up and run. Don't just hold it. Run and see what the end is going to be for your life. Because he said, I will never leave you alone. Furthermore, I will always be with you. In Hebrews 13 and 5, it says, God saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you, reinforcing his constant presence and support. Meaning, I am constantly with you. I've not left you. I've not forsaken you. I've not left you abandoned. I've not left you to be out here on your own. Sometimes the enemy wants to make you feel like you're alone. You know, all the family's gone on the glory and your friends are gone. And the enemy wants to say, oh, you're by yourself. Ain't nobody going to come check on you. Ain't nobody going to call you. Ain't nobody going to be there for you. The devil is a lie. God said, I will always be there. When my mother, my father, and whoever leaves, he said, I am right there. I'm right there. I'm that present help in the time of trouble. I'm right there. But you got to understand, I've not left you. I'm that constant presence in your life. If you want him. Because he's a gentleman. He ain't going to come if you don't want him. That's the thing. He don't have to do. But he's always there. His word said, I'm constantly there. My presence has never left you. If God calls you, he will equip you and stand by you and his believers, offering them strength, courage, love, wisdom, and his overwhelming power to overcome. Whatever your challenges may arise for you and I, this is God's plan and purpose for the believers. In Romans 8 and 28, and I know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He said, I already prepared you to do good works for me. All you had to do is walk in them. I've already given them to you. Just walk in them. In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, it's Amplified. I loved it. It says, for I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then will I call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Then, with deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with your whole heart. That right there is awesome. He said, then with a deep longing. Do you have a longing for God? You know how sometimes when you miss somebody, maybe somebody's gone on, do you have a longing for them? You miss them. You have a urgency. Like, man, I miss that person. Man, I miss talking to them. That's how God feels about us. He has a longing for us. You see, mine and your purpose is to be fully able of Jesus Christ, not worrying about what is going on, what's going to happen, trust and believing in the Savior whom says that I will never leave you nor forsake you, nor leave you not leave you on this road without direction or without purpose or out my divine will. Just know and believe in his direction and his path and his purpose for your life. God bless you.